This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's the evening edition with Lynn and Kelvin. We're talking about an upcoming proposed national conference to discuss the needs of the Orang Asli. It's supposed to happen on the 11th of January. Let's cross over now to Bartoni, a lawyer and Orang Asli activist. Thank you so much for joining us. So going straight to it, that date, the 11th of January, the government is drawing flak for organising it, this convention, on the eve of nomination day for the Cameron Highlands by-election. What do you make of the timing?
Well, I do not want to speculate on the timing of the convention, but yeah, it would be nice, you know, if there is sufficient notice, you know, or ample time given for preparation, you know, by those who are involved, particularly the Orang Asli, you know, so that they can discuss and prepare, you know, whatever issues that they want to raise at the convention, you know. But I thought the decision to hold the convention was in response to a call made by one of the PH leaders that a national Orang Asli conference be organized in Cameron Highlands to formulate a blueprint for the future of the Orang Asli community. But anyway, for us Orang Asli, any initiative which is aimed at assisting us, I think will be welcomed by the Orang Asli. Yeah.
So Wan Aziza has said that the government will study the need to formulate a development plan for the Orang Asli community. So they haven't made a solid commitment, but if they proceed, what do you hope the development plan will achieve?
Well, I mean, as everybody knows, for GE14, Pakatan Harapan, you know, they have made numerous promises for the Orang Asli community, you know. I mean, it includes recognizing, upholding, protecting the dignity and rights of the Orang Asli, you know, overhauling the Department of the Orang Asli, you know, recognition their, their rights to the land, you know, improving or upgrading, you know, infrastructures in Orang Asli villages, you know, improving or building more schools for the Orang Asli, you know, et cetera, you know. Well, I believe the PH government, you know, will fulfill these promises, you know, because these are promises which they made in their manifestos, you know. And as you are aware, many Orang Asli wanted change in their relations, you know, with the government or the deal, you know, that they have got from the previous government, you know. And I'm sure, you know, with all these promises, if fulfilled, you know, the Orang Asli would probably, you know, get a better deal, you know, from the new government, you know. And I suppose we should give them time, you know, they are hardly a year, and give them a chance, you know, yeah?
And given the variations of tribes, locations and cultures of Orang Asli in our country, what sort of studies would need to take place for Pakatan to realistically fulfil their promises?
Well, it has to be comprehensive, yes. As everybody knows, you know, there are 18 tribes of the Orang Asli, have different cultures, different needs, different lifestyle, different situations, you know. And the study has to be comprehensive. It has to incorporate all the Orang Asli group, you know, so that, you know, whatever policies or whatever understanding that authorities have of the Orang Asli, you know, is one that is comprehensive. It should not be based on selective studies, you know, based on one or two Orang Asli group, you know, and then, you know, you generalize, you know, and that is the need of the Orang Asli. It won't work, you know. I mean, that will not be correct, you know. It has to be comprehensive, you know, because as I mentioned earlier, Orang Asli group, each Orang Asli group or Orang Asli group differ, you know, in their situation, in their lifestyle, in their need, in their culture, you know. So it has to be comprehensive. Every group has to be incorporated, has to be included, yeah.
So let's talk about land rights, which have been a long-standing pain point with the Indigenous community and the government, as well as private corporations. What do you want to see happen there, and why have these conflicts gone on for as long as they have?
Yes, well, land is an important and a crucial issue for the Orang Asli. In fact, there has been the main struggle of various Orang Asli NGOs for a long time. This is so because land is so crucial, you know, to the continued existence of the Orang Asli. You know, land covers everything for them. It means everything for them, you know. It's economic, you know, social, cultural, historical, et cetera, you know. So that is the reason why, you know, land is so important to the Orang Asli. But in spite of this being the case, the authorities do not seem, you know, or rather dragging its feet, you know, in regard to recognition of the Orang Asli land rights. For instance, you know, many people in the government, you know, do not recognize that Orang Asli have rights over their land at common law, you know, even though, you know, the court have decided that they do have right at common law, you know. So, I mean, to me, this reflects, you know, the attitude of those of these people, you know, towards the Orang Asli, that, you know, the Orang Asli not important in their scheme of things, you know. And this has to change, you know. As I mentioned, you know, land is so important to the Orang Asli, you know.
So we've also heard politicians say things like disadvantaged groups should seek to better themselves instead of relying on the government or relying on handouts. Do you think that notion is one that still persists when it comes to the Orang Asli community?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, some time ago, you know, I don't have to mention name, you know, mentioned that, you know, Orang Asli have to help themselves first, you know, before they can approach the government for help. Well, to tell you the truth, you know, most of the Orang Asli actually, you know, have been striving, you know, to have their living on their own initiative, you know, yeah. But being disadvantaged group, you know, in many respects, you know, I think, you know, the government should assist them in matters that they can't do on their own. After all, to me, you know, the government has a fiduciary duty, you know, to assist marginalized groups like the Orang Asli, you know.
Does the everyday Malaysian have their own misperceptions of the Orang Asli?
Yes, there are some, of course, you know. I mean, even though I'm an Orang Asli, but I live in towns and I interact with a lot of people, you know. Yeah, there are people who have misconceptions about the Orang Asli, you know. In fact, many of them, you know, don't even know about the existence of the Orang Asli, you know. And there are people who think that the Orang Asli are contented with their present situation, that they do not need any progress. In fact, I remember, you know, someone, you know, who is quite influential, you know, quite well known, you know, said some time ago, you know, that as long as an Orang Asli has a pokok pinang, daun sirih and ubi kayu, he is happy, you know. Of course, this is not true, you know. Orang Asli, you know, just like any other communities, you know, they want progress too, you know. They want to have better lives, you know. They want to have better standard of living. They too want to progress, you know. They too want to go far, you know, in their education, in their pursuit of their ambitions, you know, in their well-being, you know.
Bartoni, thank you so much for joining us on the show. That was Bartoni, an Orang Asli activist and lawyer, speaking to us about the upcoming conference for Orang Asli, as well as the government's plans to look into the feasibility of a development blueprint for the Orang Asli community. Keep these messages coming. It's been a really interesting conversation. WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. Right now, we're headed to the news. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.